You're listening to Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson on PLIR, Prayerful Living Internet Radio. Now here's your host, Corrine Walson.
I'm going to be talking today about how we live and walk by faith and not by sight. Seems to be a tall order. And as we kind of look back over history, relationships are still suffering from the same kind of issues, and it seems that diseases are simply changing names. Flus are swapping names, bird flu, swine flu. We still have experiences of lack and fear. We're all frustrated. Families continue to be broken. And so what we've been doing so far just doesn't seem to be working. And we're spending a ton of money on self-help books, attending seminars. There seems to be a pill or a quick fix for everything out there that they sell us, but of course it doesn't deliver us from the problem. And it was Albert Einstein that said, no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. Makes sense. So if we're serious about changing the world to a better place, we've got to go higher. We've got to start thinking on a higher plane of thought if we're going to enjoy all those things that the Master came to give us, health and joy and an abundant life. Well, let's look at what level of consciousness that we're at now. Well, we take in all the information that we have through the five material senses. What we touch, see, smell, taste, and hear are the input into our minds. And then from that information, we label and we sort, we form opinions around our experiences, we memorize, and then we react to this information again as we go along. The material world, or matter, is our foundation for our beliefs. After all, seeing is believing, right? Or is it? Do you remember Thomas in the Bible? Love Thomas. After Jesus' resurrection, Thomas refused to believe that Jesus had actually returned until he could see Jesus and touch the wounds on his hands. He felt left out because the other disciples and Mary, the mother of James and Mary Magdalene, had seen Jesus. They told Thomas that they'd seen him and they'd shared with him all that Jesus had said, but their word wasn't good enough. He still could not, would not believe until he saw Jesus with his own eyes. And when Jesus finally did appear unto Thomas and invited him to look at his hands, Thomas touched Jesus, felt him with his hands, and he fell down and he worshiped him. What was Jesus' response? You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. How many of us are doubting Thomas's? Do you believe only what you can see with your eyes? Are there some issues in your life that you can have faith in without seeing, but others where you still won't believe it until your physical senses have verified? On the one hand, I know that God loves me. I mean, I've felt it. I know it. But sometimes when I get a bill in the mail and I see that my checkbook indicates that my balance won't cover it, I'm tempted to believe what the checkbook tells me instead of what God tells me about my source of supply. I've learned through experience that when I turn away from what the world is reporting and rely radically upon what God tells us and Jesus taught us, that the results are always harmonious. We're truly called to live and walk by faith and not by sight. So what does this mean exactly? Let's go back to the Bible and look at some examples where people believed without seeing and the resulting experience. At John 4:46, we read, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. Jesus told the man that unless he saw signs and wonders, evidence of miracles with his own eyes, he wouldn't believe. But the man insisted that Jesus come and heal his son. And Jesus had compassion on him and healed the son instantaneously without having to go to Capernaum. The man believed Jesus and went his way back home, but when he encountered his servants and they told him that his son was alive and well, he still asked them, "What was the hour when my son got better?" And when they confirmed that it was the same time in which Jesus had said, "Thy son liveth," it was then that he knew. And there is a difference between believing and knowing. We can believe something because someone in authority has told us it is so. We believe what we read in the Bible, but we weren't there. We didn't see Jesus' healing works. But in order to know something, to really know it, is to make it your own because you've made it true for yourself. You've personally checked it out. You've experienced it. And now, even if somebody else, even somebody in authority tells you otherwise, you won't change your opinion because you trust and have more faith in your own personal experience than the untested opinion of somebody else. People can tell you how beautiful Hawaii is, and you'd believe it because, you know, people tell you, and they've been there. But until you've been there and stood on the sand and experienced it for yourself, you don't fully understand. How about in the Bible when the disciples left their homes, families, and occupations to follow Jesus? In the first chapter of Mark describes how Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. These fishermen heard Jesus and immediately got up and left their jobs, their sources of income to provide for themselves and no doubt their loved ones. They left their families and were drawn to Jesus because it was a call to go higher, to live a more purposeful life. Something in them recognized and responded to this call. They didn't know where they were going, what they would do or see, where they would live, what they would eat. They simply believed Jesus and agreed to follow him. And what was the result? In the Bible, it says soon after that, they witnessed Jesus command an unclean spirit to come out of a man. He instantaneously healed all manner of disease, including the cleansing of the leper and much more. Not only did they witness it, but they themselves began to heal others. They went from believing into making it true for themselves and understood what Jesus taught them was the truth, that they were following the Son of God. They went from believing to knowing, and this complete faith and understanding made it possible for them to repeat the healing works that Jesus did. We are being called not to simply believe, but to know the truth. To know what we've read in the Bible is true without seeing it. This is that higher level I spoke about. It's the higher level of consciousness that's required to solve the issues we face in this human experience. It is where the command to live by faith and not by sight comes from. We've all heard or read Hebrews 11:1, which reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Think on these two words for a second, substance and evidence. Normally, we think of substance as something made of matter, maybe heavy and large, like a mountain. Evidence usually takes the form of a material object, a photograph, or the testimony of someone who saw or heard something. Notice that all of this stems from matter. But the Bible tells us that faith is substance, and faith is evidence. It's your evidence on a spiritual level. Faith is to spiritual sense what the eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and touch are to material sense. The material senses are the evidence of the mortal man. It is what we rely upon for our earthly evidence to prove to ourselves what is true and what we know. But what we think we know is true hasn't led us up and out of the misery we're experiencing and is thinking on the same level that the issues were created in at the first place. We must cast aside the material senses, disregard the false testimony that they give us if we wish to advance and to gain the kingdom of heaven. The joy, love, health, and satisfying life that Jesus taught us is already ours. Remember the disciples in the boat who were fishing, and they cast their nets but hadn't caught a single fish all day? And then Jesus appeared unto them, and he told them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat. They were skeptical because they had already been fishing all day, and they hadn't caught anything. And these were fishermen by trade. But they believed in Jesus, and they did it anyway. And what happened? Their nets were overflowing with fish. Jesus taught them to cast aside what the material senses and their personal history had taught them. And when they did, when they put their trust in something higher, their faith in what they could not see, they caught all that they needed and then some. So how do we cast aside the material story and evidence when all around us, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all you are bombarded with are what your senses are feeding you? If our faith is not to be in what we hear, see, smell, and touch, what do we put our faith in? The unseen. Do you recall the story in 1 Kings about Elijah, who asked the widow for a drink of water and some bread to eat? But she told him that she had nothing but a small amount of meal and oil left, that she was preparing it for her and her son to eat it, and then for them to die. Elijah told her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Now, I just have to say that if I had very little to eat and was planning to die, and someone asked me to share what little I did have with him first, I'm kind of certain that my human side or ego thought would be, "Who is this guy? Why would I give him some when I don't even have enough for me and my kid?" But this woman believed and was obedient, and she went and she did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. How was it that the meal and oil continued when the material senses would report that she was almost out and she and her son would die? What was it that Elijah knew? He had more faith in the word of God than in the report of the material world. He knew God would provide because he knew God to be love. His spiritualized understanding about God and his relationship to him allowed him to have complete faith in the situation that looked bleak from a material standpoint. Mary Baker Eddy wrote in Science and Health that when man is governed by God, the ever-present mind who understands all things, man knows that with God, all things are possible. She also taught that life, truth, and love, being eternal and indestructible, are real substance. And when we think of these facts and spiritualize our thought and understand that our experience here is really a manifestation of our thoughts and beliefs, we then begin to see and receive what to human sense are miracles. It was no miracle that the meal and oil continued, because when you understand that God is life, your life, and that your life is eternal, not dependent upon matter or material laws and mandates, and that God is good and supplies all that his creation needs, it's very natural that food would be manifested. Elijah knew that God's loved offspring have by inheritance all they need at every moment. This truth, understood, destroyed the lie that man is subject to limitation. The world's outlines are obstacles, and the result of the light dispelling the darkness or the lie about lack resulted in the reproduction of meal and oil for the widow and her household. You might read and believe that the meal did not fail or that Jesus fed the multitude with a few fish and loaves of bread, but as you understand that God is an inexhaustible source of good to his creation and that he supplies your every need, your limited beliefs will become faith and perfected faith or understanding when you demonstrate these truths for yourself. Mrs. Eddy described faith this way: faith is higher and more spiritual than belief. It is a chrysalis state of human thought in which spiritual evidence, contradicting the testimony of material sense, begins to appear, and truth, the ever-present, is becoming understood. Human thoughts have their degrees of comparison. Some thoughts are better than others. A belief in truth is better than a belief in error, but no mortal testimony is founded on the divine rock. Mortal testimony can be shaken. Until belief becomes faith, and faith becomes spiritual understanding, human thought has little relation to the actual or divine. She's telling us that faith is spiritual evidence, and this evidence contradicts what material senses tell us. Jesus' faith was perfect. It's why he could walk on water, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. All of these are in direct violation of the so-called laws of matter. Mrs. Eddy then described the hierarchy in our consciousness. There are the thoughts we have day to day, some good, some bad. We have beliefs, and a belief in what is true is obviously superior to a belief in a lie. But all human thoughts, opinions, and beliefs are founded on what? What our material senses report. And where has that gotten us? Doesn't it feel like a treadmill going nowhere? It's when our belief in God becomes faith in his word, even when it contradicts what we have or are currently experiencing over what we've been led to believe. And this faith then becomes spiritual understanding as we put our faith into practice that our lives align with what God actually created and knows is true about us. And when your thought aligns with the truth, it's manifested in your experience because your human consciousness equals human experience. So when we gain faith by turning from what the world tells us and we rely radically upon what God tells us in the Bible about who and what we are, that's when things are changing. But is faith alone enough? The Bible tells us it's not. In the book of James, it is explained this way: what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We need to also walk in accordance with our faith. We've got to behave the way our faith dictates we should. When we couple our acts with our faith, we then prove what our faith says. And your own personal testimony is solidified. We now understand where before it was just a belief we held. It is what we might talk about and even share with others. But as we put our faith into practice, we experience a change. Prayers are answered. The quality of your life improves, and you then know that what you have had faith in is the truth because you've made it true for yourself. You've experienced the healing that follows, and your faith is perfected within you, and nobody and no thing is going to shake you off of what you know to be true. And once it is true for you, you can then speak with authority and share your experience and testimony with others. In James 2:22, it reads, You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. We need faith and action combined. It's stepping out when you don't see the path in front of you. It's putting ourselves out there when we're afraid of being rejected or ridiculed. It's feeling the fear and doing it anyways. It's giving that last dollar when you're not sure where the next one is coming from. It's knowing God is your strength, your ability, your intelligence, your love, your very life, that he will certainly open the way. I remember watching a TV program that reported stories of incredible pets and animals. And there was this woman who heard about a horse that was about to be put down because it was going blind, and it had almost lost all of its eyesight and would be completely blind in the future. She asked if she could take the horse home to her property, and she was given the horse. She spent time at first just lovingly grooming the horse, allowing the horse to smell her, become accustomed to her voice and her touch. She then put tack and a saddle on the horse and led the horse around an arena. The horse was a bit tentative at first, but had learned in time to trust his new owner and follow her around, even when he couldn't see clearly where he was going. The show interviewed the woman, and she talked about how the most she could hope for was to save the horse's life, to exercise him, and give him a decent home. But her love for the horse grew, and she felt compelled to get onto the horse's back and take him for a ride. By this time, the horse was completely blind. She was able to take the horse out and go on trail rides. This horse had such trust in its owner that he completely relied upon her cues to guide him. She eventually taught this horse to jump fences and to run at a full gallop. I was so impressed. Can you imagine running full speed, completely blind, relying totally on your owner to guide you and keep you safe? That horse would not have complied and run the way it did unless he knew that his owner would care for him. The horse started out just being led around an arena, but the faith, coupled with the consistent trust and reliance on his owners, which are the works, led to this animal to run, jump, and gallop. It was such a wonderful testimony about what faith and works can do, and the visualization of running forward when you can't see what's ahead has remained with me. The horse truly ran by faith and not by sight. The Bible is filled with promises from God. If you do your part, God will do his. Well, what's your part? Your part is to continue to pray, to acknowledge your oneness with God, that you have and possess all that God is by reflection, that you are not a mortal, limited being subject to sin, sickness, and sin. Your part is to love and forgive and love more. And as you do, God is going to move through you, work on your behalf. Your life will align with the divine, and you will know the truth that makes you free. And when you are doing your part, let's review a few of the Bible passages to check out what is already yours. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Jeremiah 31:34, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Psalm 138:8, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Isaiah 26, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. These are just a few. These are the truth no matter what this world tells you, no matter who tells you, if it is not in line with these promises, you must disregard the false evidence and cling tightly, steadfastly, to what God tells you. Therein is the secret. This is how we create a new life for ourselves and then others by your example. It is a higher level of consciousness that will overcome all adversity. This is the way Jesus showed us. Now let's walk in it. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.
Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson is broadcast on PLIR, Prayerful Living Internet Radio.